Welcome to International Personal Finance's 2015 Full Year Results Briefing, hosted by Gerard Ryan, Chief Executive Officer. Also on the call are Adrian Gardner, Chief Financial Officer, and Justin Lockwood, Head of Finance. There will be a Q&A session held near the end of the conference, and instructions will follow. I will now hand over to Gerard Ryan to begin today's conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Claire. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you very much for joining the call. As Claire said, today I'm joined by Adrian Gardner and Justin Lockwood. What I'll do is I'll give you a brief overview of our results and how we view the business today, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers thereafter. So first of all, to say that as we view the output for 2015, we believe that we had a very good, very strong underlying trading performance. So underlying profit growth was 10% or 12.6 million in the year. Now clearly we have to deal with FX headwinds because we report in sterling but our businesses have other trading currencies. And sterling, relatively speaking, was strong during the year. So the FX headwind was of the order of 17.2 million. However, the businesses are very profitable and having invested a further 2.8 million in digital businesses, we then delivered 116.1 million in pre-tax pre-exceptional profit. So what were the drivers of that? Well, the first thing to say is that Mexico had a really good year. As promised over 3 years ago, we wanted to deliver 660 pesos profit per customer. And whilst we missed the customer target, we absolutely delivered on the profitability number. So from 3 years ago, where Mexico hardly counted towards profitability, today it now delivers 22 million of our PBT. And it did that by growing top-line credit issued by just under 20%. Also, in terms of our other home credit businesses in Europe, we had what I would call a stable performance, the only exceptions clearly being Czech and Slovak Republic, and we can talk about that shortly. What we did see was that we had a very slow start to 2015 in Europe home credit, and we started off at minus 4% in quarter one. However, every succeeding quarter improved, so that by the time we got to quarter four, the issue growth was a positive 3% year on year. Obviously, we now have a new digital business which trades in seven different countries, and we were delighted that the acquisition of MCV Finance in February 15 fitted so well into our group. And during the year, customer numbers were up by 46% and credit issued grew by 34%. As always with our business, we have a really strong balance sheet, and having completed our latest share buyback, our equity to receivables, which many people think of as the equivalent of a Tier 1 ratio, currently stands at 40.8%. So all in all, a very good trading performance, driven by credit issue growth for the group of 13%, customer growth of 7%, and revenue growth of 4%. And what's really interesting to note was that these growth rates were achieved without compromising quality. So just to make clear, the portfolio quality at the end of the year is actually in better shape than this time last year. So it actually improved year on year. Obviously, when we talk about 2015, the discussion wouldn't be complete if we didn't deal up front with regulation and the impact that it has had and will have on our business. And I know that all of you will be aware that when we announced our half-year results last year, we talked about the new total cost of credit regulations that would come into play in Poland. Those regulations now are only a few weeks away, and they will become active on the 11th of March this year. What I can tell you is that we are in good shape in terms of our redefined product, and we're ready to go with that. Because of the commercial sensitivity of the nature of the product reconstruction, we won't be talking about the detail today. But what I can tell you is, having tested various aspects of it, we're comfortable with the guidance that we gave some time ago in relation to the impact of the new regulation. The other piece of regulatory news that we should talk about is clearly Slovakia. From my point of view, a very disappointing result in Slovakia on regulation. and really disappointing for the simple reason that up until now, there's been a really tried and tested process by which new regulations arrive on the statute book. Normally, a regulator or a finance ministry would produce a draft. Interested parties like ourselves and other competitors would be asked for our opinion. A revised draft would come out taking account of whatever they believed was appropriate, and eventually that will go through various committee stages and then be presented usually to Parliament, either by a Minister of Finance or somebody of that order. And then the regulation will be published and institutions get a reasonable amount of time to react to that. What we saw in Slovakia, however, was entirely different. In that particular country in December, a regulation was presented to Parliament and voted on immediately without any prior consultation with market participants. It was voted on and passed, and within 48 hours, because it was so hurriedly put through Parliament, the politicians who had approved it went to the President and asked the President to veto the new regulation. The President subsequently did that, and it was revised, represented, and voted on again. But it's just an indication of how, when regulation comes forward in this way, it tends to be not as well drafted as it might otherwise be and can have some unintended consequences. As regards Slovakia and the new regulation, the new cap was set at 27%. But as you know, our home credit business, because it's run on an agent basis, we take more risk than people like high street banks. And we also have greater infrastructure costs because we have a big agent workforce. So it's not possible for us to have a viable and profitable agent workforce and business based on a cap that is so low, when that cap is meant to include absolutely every element related to the loan. So we have had to take the difficult decision to wind down our business in Slovakia, and we announced that this morning to our investors here in UK, and we also announced it to our employees in Slovakia this morning. So our intention now is to collect out that business. We will, over the period of the coming year, reduce the agency workforce and our employee workforce and maximize the collections out of that business. But as a result, you would expect that collections performance will be less than it would be if this were a going concern. And so we've taken an exceptional charge to the accounts in 2015, which relates primarily to the portfolio and also to the write-down of the deferred tax, as we will have no future profits in that business. In 2016, therefore, what you will see is a loss in Slovakia of somewhere between 5 and 7 million, which will effectively be the wind-down cost for what I would say are primarily redundancies and termination of leases, and also some impact from Poland. Then in 17, the Slovakia issue would have gone away and it will be a full year impact of Poland. So a difficult year from a regulatory point of view, but something that we obviously need to get our heads around. Because of the way the regulation is now coming on the books in this new, less consultative manner, then what we've decided to do is to have different resource in our business to deal with it. And by that I mean resource that is more engaged in the political side rather than in just the regulatory side. And that is something that we're doing at this point in time. As we think about the business going forward, we've now decided to evolve our strategy. So over the last 3 years, we've had our strategy for growth. And that has delivered very positively for the business. We've gone from being a single product, single distribution channel company to now being multiple of both. So 3 years ago, our only real product was a weekly home collected loan. Today we offer weekly, monthly, we offer a micro business loan, a prepaid loan on a card, and many other aspects that we didn't have 3 years ago. We used to be only Provident via an agent. Today we are Provident via an agent. And we are also Credit 24, Sving, and Happy Loan via our digital channels. In terms of the strategy going forward, we're now going to divide our businesses into two broad categories. The The first will be established businesses in home credit, and that will be Poland, Lithuania, and Hungary and Czech Republic. Those businesses will be squeezed in terms of cost base so that we increase the returns and we use those returns to fund the investment in the growth opportunities that we have. And those growth opportunities are the second group of businesses. And on home credit, that is Mexico, Romania, Bulgaria, and obviously IPF Digital. So in summary, it's been a very positive year from a trading perspective, but clearly the markets have changed in Europe from a regulatory perspective, and that is obviously the news story today. And so what we've said is that our profitability in 16 and 17 needs to be rebased for the impact of Slovakia and Poland, but that we will run these established businesses to drive returns, to invest in some really good opportunities that we have going forward. So as we go through those 2 years with reduced profits compared to 2015, we also have investments that start to bear fruit that replenish the profits thereafter. So with that, I'm going to hand it back to Claire to take any questions that you might have, and we'll be happy to answer any that you do have. So Claire, over to you.
Thank you very, very much, sir. If you wish to ask a question at this time, you may press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. And we will now just pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. Thank you. There seem to be no questions at this time. My apologies, Mr. Ryan. A question has just come through. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just a couple of quick questions. With equity to receivables at around 40%, are you happy to leave it there?
Okay. Hi, it's Jerry here. Sorry, who's asking the question?
Sorry, it's Penelope from Guy Butler.
Oh, hi, Penelope. So 3 years ago, we were at equity to receivables of about 58.5%. And over the 3 years, we've stepped it down each year, so down to 55, 50, 45. And the latest target we gave for the business was 40%. Today, having completed that last share buyback, we're at 40.8%. And for now, we are comfortable at that level. But the direction of travel, we believe, is the right direction of travel. But for today, we're going to stick with the 40% target that we have out there.
Okay.
Now, it's not the businesses, I just want to make clear, the businesses continue to generate surplus capital, but obviously we have some ambitious targets in terms of growing the opportunities that we have. So our preference always is to use the capital we generate to grow those opportunities. But to the extent that we have excess capital, we will consider how to return that to shareholders. But for now, we continue to look at the opportunities that we have.
Okay. And the second question, what would it actually take for you to move the head office out of the UK and into a location where you're actually active?
Well, I get asked this one on a reasonably frequent basis, and I think it's perfectly understandable because in the UK we only have the head office and no trading operations. But the reality is, as I look at my top to-do list, so in terms of the top 10 things I need to achieve and the impact that they can have for shareholders, moving the UK head office doesn't reach the top 10 for the simple reason that we have some really, really skilled people that have been with the business for years in Leeds. Their knowledge and understanding of the business is really important to us. And so the disruption that would be caused by moving the head office and the cost of relocation wouldn't be compensated for any additional benefit we would get because we would lose that skill and that knowledge. So for now, there is no intention to move.
It's probably also worth saying, Penelope, hi, it's Adrian Gardner, the CFO, that we do have a UK cost rationalisation exercise happening right now. That is aiming to take out 10% of our UK cost base. And actually, we record quite a lot of costs which are essentially fixed, so we own the fixed assets substantially through the UK, so depreciation appears in the UK. So if you were looking at properly addressable costs, the percentage we're taking out is nearly double that percentage, so nearly 20% of addressable costs. So we are acutely conscious that we need to manage our internal cost base very well and that the UK is not as low a cost economy as some of our other operating markets. And we are actively looking during the course of this year as to whether there are sensible activities that we can move from the UK to other markets. So in that sense, the UK is not a something that really moves the needle in terms of, or the delta doesn't really move the needle in terms of what we can do compared to putting it somewhere else.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Penelope.
Our next question comes from Edward McCarthy from Atlante. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for your time. I was just wondering about the group overall impairment rate. It went down by 2.5% in the year. I know that you said that credit quality has gone up, but also what percentage of that would have been due to sale of distressed assets? The split.
It's Jared here. So at a group level, it was 25.7% impairment to revenue. If I reverse out all of the debt sales, it goes from 25.7% to 27.3%. If I reverse out the debt sales in 2014 for a comparable figure, 2015 ends up being more than 1 percentage point better than 2014 on a comparable basis. So even reversing out all the debt sales, we end up bang in the middle of our target rate. The other thing to say is that on all of the debt sales that we've made over the past 2 years, because we only started 2 years ago, we have made a profit on every debt sale. And the reason I mention that is to say that we clearly value the portfolio in sufficiently conservative form that even when we sell off bad debt, we still make a profit on it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
We have no further questions at this time. I would like to turn it back to you, Mr. My apologies. We've just had another one come in. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Umar Javed from Citi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yes, Umar, we can.
Excellent. So thank you for the presentation. Overall, a pretty decent set of numbers for 2015. Can I just ask you, guys, just one thing? I mean, obviously, I'm focused on the credit side, the bond side of the equation. I look at the applied cost of debt from a funding / balance sheet perspective, and your bonds are trading at sort of 10%. I mean, how do you guys think about being able to fund this business? I mean, I know, you know, you mentioned you've got access, you've got liquidity of 130 plus million, but I mean, as you think about funding, you know, arguably your cost of equity should be higher than your cost of debt. Your cost of debt is at 10%. And so how do you guys think about sort of your balance sheet, cost of funding, debt, given that you've had a shareholder-friendly, you know, policy to date?
So I think there are a number of points within that. You correctly point to the amount of headroom that we have. So we have £130 million, so slightly over that, in form of headroom, which allows us to continue to trade quite happily and to grow without needing to raise additional capital. I think it's also worth noting that in every year for the last several years, we've had excess capital that we have generated that we have returned to shareholders as we have not put that to work. So we have that inbuilt amount of additional capital available to us each year. I think in terms of the bond price, you will have seen that it has been quite volatile in the course of the last few weeks, has followed the equity down toward the end of December. You are probably more of a bond purist than I am. Some would say that the trading in the bond is not consistent with the credit rating that we currently have, and we would absolutely agree with that. It feels that the bond is oversold. So it doesn't feel as if the bond price is a true reflection of the long-term nature of the type of cost that we would face were we to go to raise additional bond financing. I think that where we are right now is that we have plenty of capital to meet the needs of the business in terms of how we see GASA or how we intend to grow over the course of the next period, and that as a result, there will be plenty of time for the bond market to sort itself out.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Emma.
We do not have any further questions at this time, everyone. Thank you.
Okay, Claire, thank you very much. Just final remarks for everybody on the call. Thank you for joining, first of all. As I said, a robust set of trading numbers for 2015, you know, underlying trading growth, very, very positive at 10% in terms of profitability, you know, credit issued at 13%, customers at 7%, revenue at 4%, and portfolio quality better than a year ago. But clearly, the big news story for everybody is regulation. What we're trying to do is explain how it's changed in the way that regulation is landing and what we've done about it and what we will be doing going forward. We've also tried to explain how we've evolved the strategy to make the core businesses in home credit in Europe sweat more to deliver the returns that will be used for what we see as some considerable growth opportunities in those markets in Mexico, Romania, Bulgaria, and digital. And one further thing that I should add, and that is that currently in Poland, we are piloting a digital offer to our existing customers there. So when customers land on the website and in Poland, we get 5.6 million customers per annum to our website, but we currently only convert 0.8%. As of a few weeks ago, when they land on the website, they now get a second offer. They can either get a loan from an agent or a loan from direct, as in digital. If they go the digital route and they're good enough in credit quality, they'll get an offer and the money will be with them in, let's say, 15 minutes. If their credit quality isn't good enough, then they will get offers from the agent side of the business. Our view is all that we really need to do there is to convert a couple of percentage points of those visitors, and we'll be getting some very nice growth on that home credit business in Poland again. But it is a pilot at the moment, but I just thought I should mention it before I close. So we'll rebase the profits for 16 and 17 because of Slovakia and Poland. We're sweating our existing home credit businesses in Europe, and we're investing in the opportunities we have. And with that, I'll say thank you very much for joining our call. Thank you very much. And thank you, Claire, for hosting the call for us.
Thank you, everybody. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.